10th chapter of John's Gospel, we read these words. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold, I must also bring them, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may now take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord, and I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. This is God's holy and infallible word. Just as we're reading this passage, even now, I'm thinking about Jesus' description here about someone who works for the shepherd, as it were, but he's not a very reliable person. Would seem to me that's not somebody you would want to hire to be working for you on your farm, the kind of person that's described here like that. And in contrast to that, of course, is the great shepherd who loves and cares for his sheep. And that's what our passage is really all about. It's about Christ. He's the great shepherd. He takes care of the sheep. Now sheep are just interesting animals, but they're also very helpless animals. Philip Keller wrote a great book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And he says about sheep these words: even the largest, fattest, strongest, and sometimes healthiest sheep can be cast, is the word, and be a casualty. And the way it happens, he says, is this: a heavy, fat, or long fleeced sheep will lie down comfortably in some little hollow or depression in the ground. And it might roll on its side slightly and stretch out to relax. And suddenly the center of gravity in the body shifts so that it turns on its back far enough that the feet can no longer touch the ground. It may feel a sense of panic and start to paw frantically. And frequently this only makes things worse. It rolls over even further, and now it is quite impossible for it to regain its feet. The sheep is cast. In other words, it's going to die. That's why sheep need a shepherd. Sheep are just helpless animals. They need a shepherd so that they don't die. They need 24-hour a day care. And that's the care that the shepherd gives to the sheep, and that's the care that the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, gives to his sheep. It tells us in this passage that he is the good shepherd who cares for his sheep. Notice the relationship of the shepherd to the sheep in this passage. He's familiar with his sheep. He knows his sheep. He doesn't lose them. You know, it's not like, I don't know, maybe you remember that song, There Were 90 and Nine That Safely Lay, and so on and so forth. But one got lost, and what happened when the one that got lost got lost? The shepherd went out to find it. The shepherd does not lose his sheep. And the point of this passage is that our shepherd has a close, personal relationship with every believer. Believers are pictured here as sheep. Sheep who are a gift of the Father to the Son, highly prized by God. And what does the shepherd say about the sheep that he has been given? They are known to him. He knows them. He knows them affectionately. He knows them personally. He knows them eternally. The shepherd knows each and every sheep by name. I guess you give your animals names, but if you have a bunch of them, do you give all of them names? I never thought about that, but you know, if I had the 90 and 9 that safely lay, and so on and so forth, would all of those 99 each have a different sheep name? You know, and what would sheep names be? Not sure what that would be. But the point here is that Jesus knows each of his believers by name. He knows each and every one of you by name. He knows you affectionately, lovingly, personally, and eternally. And it means that we have an intimate and a personal relationship with the shepherd. And the reason we have this personal, intimate relationship with the shepherd is because the shepherd gave his precious blood, as Peter tells us in his gospel. The blood of Christ was given for the purchase and the redemption of his sheep. Sheep are redeemed by the purchase price of the blood of the Son of God. And because of that, they are known to the shepherd. He loves us so much that he gave us his life. And he purchased us for his own. And now we, like the sheep that Jesus speaks of here, we know the voice of the shepherd. Not only does the shepherd know the sheep know the shepherd. They know him. They know the true shepherd, not these false shepherds. Not these other workers here that Jesus describes. We know the true shepherd, and we know him, and we love him. We hear the voice of the shepherd. You know, when you're young, and you know, if you're out in a crowd somewhere, maybe you're out like at the mall or something, and you hear the voice of your grandparent or your parent, you hear that call and they speak your name. You hear your name, you know who is calling you because you know the voice that is calling you. And here in this passage, it says the sheep hear the voice of their shepherd. We can distinguish it from all others. We can distinguish the true shepherd's voice from false workers. We follow the true shepherd. That's what the true sheep do. They follow the shepherd. And where do we follow him? Well, we follow him wherever he leads us. And we ultimately will follow him where? Well, we'll follow him home to heaven where he is. Remember, Jesus said to his disciples when he was leaving them, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, what is he going to do? I'm going to come back and take you to be face to face with me. True sheep follow Christ, and they will reach heaven, because that's where the shepherd has gone, the true shepherd, the shepherd of the sheep. He has gone to heaven, and the true sheep follow him, and we will ultimately follow him home, because he will come and gather us to himself and take us to be with him for all eternity. And that thought of the knowledge of the shepherd is throughout this whole passage. We see it in verse 14. We see it in the words that he speaks there. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold, I will bring them also. And what will they do? They will listen to my voice. The staggering thought here is that the Father knows us, and we know the Lord, the great shepherd. How does the Father know us? He knows us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He brings us into his family through the love of Christ, who shed his blood on Calvary's cross. And his knowledge of us extends to the deepest part of our lives. He knows all that there is to know about us. He knows our past. He knows our present. He knows our future. He knows your failures. He knows your hurts, your longings. He knows your desires. He knows us thoroughly. There is nothing about us that he is unfamiliar with. He knows us all. I'm always struck with that fact when I read Psalm 103. Do you remember Psalm 103, where it says, before a word leaves my tongue, what does it say? The psalmist says, you know that word altogether. The Lord knows all things. He knows exactly what we're going to say before we say it. He knows us thoroughly. He knows us completely, our past, our present, our future. His knowledge of us is incomprehensible. He knows us, and he loves us, and he cares for us. And we see that provision of the shepherd for the sheep in this passage. We see it early in the passage where it speaks of Christ being the door. He says, I am the door. And he opens, he is the one who is the door of the shepherd of the sheep. What is that all about? What does it mean that it is that he is the door? What does the image mean? Well, G. Campbell Morgan, the great preacher, was traveling across the Atlantic on a steamship journey one time, and he noticed that among the passengers was Sir George Adam Smith, the most famous Old Testament scholar of his time. So G. Campbell Morgan tells the story of one of their discussions where Sir George Adam Smith told of his travels in the Middle East, where he came across a shepherd and his sheep. And in conversation with the shepherd, the man showed him the fold into which the sheep were led at night. It consisted of four walls with a way in. And Sir George said to him, this is where they go in at night? Question, yes, the shepherd said. And this is where they are, and they're perfectly safe. But there's not a door, said Sir George. And the shepherd said, I am the door. He was not a Christian man, but he was speaking from an Arab shepherd's viewpoint. Sir George looked at him and said, what do you mean by the door? The shepherd answered, when the light is gone and the sheep are inside, I lie in the open space, and no sheep ever goes out across my body. And none would come in unless he crosses my body. I am the door. See, the door is the shepherd. He is the door to the fold. And that's what Jesus says in this passage, I am the door. I am the one who keeps you safe when you come into the fold. I am the one who is the door. You are saved and you are safe with me. And as the door, he protects us. He provides for us. When you come in the door, you're not only saved, but you're safe forevermore. The provider gives what you need, full and abundant life. He leads you, as Psalm 23 speaks of it, into pasturage. Remember that wonderful psalm? He leads me into what? Green waters, or green areas, for your name's sake. Now, you don't have to be a brilliant sheep, and you don't have to be a beautiful sheep, or an energetic sheep. You just have to be a sheep that follows the shepherd and do whatever he leads you to do, because the shepherd knows what's best for you. He knows when you need to be led into green pastures. He knows when to lead you beside still waters. The shepherd knows what is best for you. And that's what Jesus tells us in this passage. We are given eternal life through this great shepherd. The shepherd who brings us into life and communion and fellowship with God. No earthly shepherd can give life to his sheep. That's absolutely impossible. Even the shepherd that Sir George Adam Smith, the great Old Testament scholar, was speaking to, couldn't give life to his sheep, but Christ gives life to his sheep. And there is no possibility that Christ's death would endanger his sheep, because by his death he gives life to his sheep and fellowship with God. And that's what fellowship with God is, eternal life. John 17, verse 3 says, eternal life is knowing God. It is a knowledge that implies a personal affection, a redeeming action, a covenant faithfulness, and providential watchfulness towards those whom God knows. It's salvation, both now and forever. That's why Jesus tells us in this passage, they will never perish. They will never be lost. He preserves his people in eternal life. He preserves them to the very end, as opposed to those who are described here as the thief, who doesn't protect, who runs away when the wolf comes. The thief who runs and steals for his food, the thief who does nothing but destroy the flock, rather than that, the shepherd is there to protect the flock, and they will never fall away. The shepherd will hold them, the shepherd will keep them, and weak as they are, and sheep are weak and feeble, they will all be saved. Not one will be lost. Not one will be cast away. In fact, Jesus tells us, no one will be able to snatch them from my hand. The power of Christ keeps us safe. And the focus is always upon the power of Jesus. You know, it's not your ability to stay in the hand of Jesus. It's the hand of Jesus that keeps us and provides for us. And wolves and thieves and robbers, no one and nothing can remove us from the hand of Jesus. And he will never fail in his assignment given to him by the Father. He said, all that the Father gives me will come to me. So salvation does not depend upon ourselves. The guarantee of our salvation does not depend upon ourselves, as do most guarantees, humanly speaking. No matter how weak we are, no matter how feeble, we are always safe in the hands of Jesus. Be comforted in the fact that no one and nothing can take you. Trials, tribulations, death itself, nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus the Lord. No one can snatch you from his hand. No one is able to take you away. No one will snatch the hand of the believer from the hand of Christ, because the all-powerful hand of the shepherd is the same hand that brought this world into being. It is mighty. It is the powerful hand that comforts and guides and protects every believing sheep. We need not fear. Do you see the love of the shepherd for his sheep in this passage? It's a heart filled with sacrificial love. We see that so often in the New Testament passages. In many passages, it speaks of Christ's compassion for people who were like sheep without a shepherd. He loved them, not like the hireling. He is the one that says, I will never forsake them. I will lay down my life. Four times in this passage, it says, I will lay down my life for my sheep. It's the sheep whom he loves and cares for that receive the supreme sacrifice of the Son of God. Every day of his earthly life was an act of sacrifice for the shepherd, for the sheep. An act of sacrifice that ultimately brought him to death at Calvary's cross, where instead of calling upon 10,000 angels in Gethsemane to elude the capture by the soldiers, Jesus rather gave himself up, willing to go to the cross to die in the place of sinners. He laid down his life for his sheep. This is the heart of the shepherd, the heart of the great shepherd, who is not only the great shepherd, but the door. He is the one who calls us by name, who knows us. He offers us a place with him in his sheepfold. And when he laid down his life, he became the door of salvation and the door to abundant life. He said, I am the way. There is no other way to God but through the door, Jesus Christ. If you've ever received this relationship, if you've never received this relationship, receive him today as the shepherd and the bishop of your soul. But if you're already one of his sheep, God wants you to know and to enjoy these benefits of being in his flock, being a part of the sheepfold, being a part of the flock that is loved by the shepherd. Worship him in your heart this very day and glorify God. Amen.